praying, things are on your mind, phone will ring. It never fails when I go to seeking God and all that, somebody will call me. I learned way back yonder early on in my walk with the Lord, when I would go into my prayer room, I would tell Teresa, don't let Travis come in. I'm not answering the phone. I don't care. I'm going in and I'm spending time with God. Because I learned, my pastor taught us, you know, about distractions. You know, you can sit in church. God is a good God. But you can sit in church and your mind be on everything, distracted by everybody, and leave empty. Or you can come to a service, or whether it's in your prayer closet or here, and leave energized and full, praise God. And I'm determined to leave that way. I came to get some more of Him and worship Him, and that's what we did. But God is good. God is a good God. You know, I mean, I hear people out there in the world, and they're like, if God's so good, why don't He meet my needs? And why don't He do this? And, you know, and I always tell them, you're not letting Him. It's not God's fault. God is good. He is good to everybody. I mean, while we were yet sinners, God was good to us, right? He is a good, good Father. Hallelujah. Now, I've been in my life where I limited the goodness of God to where God could not work in my life. Unbelief and different things. I teach it and preach it here. But God is a good God. Hallelujah. You look at the news and you look at things today, and people will tell you, I don't know if God's a good God or not, but I'm going to tell you, this Bible right here tells me that God is a good God. And God has been good to Scotty. Good to me. Hallelujah. He is a good God. You know, put that James up, Beth. James 1:17. It says, every good gift and every perfect, there's good gifts and there's perfect gifts. Gifts is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turn. He don't change. Praise God. All good things come from the Lord. God is a good God. You know, I think it might have been Oral Roberts. He was criticized because about every service he would tell them, something good is going to happen to you. Why? Because he knew personally that God is a good God. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Psalm 68:19, the Bible says that he daily loads me and you up with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He is a good God. He's every day loading you up, looking for you to look to Him and worship Him and honor Him and reverence Him. And He holds not one good thing back from those that walk upright in Him. He don't hold back. God has been good to Scotty. You know, I didn't know the goodness of God. I read the scripture in Psalms one time. We'll put it up there in a minute. But it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, and in that time, at that time in my life, Mac, things wasn't together. You know what I mean? I had a lot of problems. I still have a lot of problems, but I have faith in God now, and I have confidence in God now. I have trust in God now, and I know that my God is a good God to Scotty. And He will never fail me. Well, you know, I read that and I thought, how do you taste and see that God's good? That's the carnal mind. My mind hadn't been renewed. I hadn't been enlightened by the Holy Spirit. See, we got a whole world full of theologians out there and people sitting in church trying to come up with a revelation of what the Word means to them when the Holy Spirit has to bring it to life. Praise God. And then you know, I taste and see that God is good. And it's not with my mouth. I praise Him with my mouth. I believe the Word of God to be true. And I believe all of this scripture is a letter written to the body of Christ. And there, and that's why I say it here, get can't out of your thinking and out of your speaking. I never told my son we can't afford it. He never heard that stupidity. To me, that was stupid after I learned the Word of God. When the Bible says that God, my God, Paul said, but my, y'all givers, he said, my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. So I would tell Travis when we didn't have the money or something like that, I trained my mind to my spirit. I renewed my mind to the Word of God where I thought like God in that area. You know, and I would tell him, not now. I've never said it out of my mouth again when I heard it the first time. Don't ever say that you can't afford nothing. That is doubt and unbelief. I can have anything that God says I can have. I can do anything that God says I can do. In the Bible, it says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. The Bible says that nothing is impossible, Mac, to me and you if we believe. Not just me and you. But we coming up. Straight up, man. When we learn something, it's got us in fear and unbelief, we kill it. You cut it down. You slap it down. You kill it. You come back with the Word of God. That's your replacement for fear. That's your replacement for unbelief. That's your replacement. You choose to not believe or you choose to believe. It's a choice. I choose to believe God's Word. He spoke to me, he said, give her to me. You'd go to church and they'd say, let's just bring it all and give it all to God. Just give it to God. And they'd go to the altar and give it to God and go back and start talking about it. You ain't give nothing to God. And I'm like, God, I don't know how to give her to you. Well, see, she was precious to me, still is. I'll fight for her today. That devil will never get my wife. You got it? I've seen error come and I've seen it go and I've stood my ground, but God, I give her to Jesus back down yonder 33 years ago. And he ain't been able to touch my marriage and destroy it then. Oh, he's been able to hinder it. He's been able to come in there and think he's going to get me to bow to unbelief and the way it feels and the way she is and all that. But all he found is the two foundation. One of them was founded on the rock. Well, the one before I got born again was on the sand. That's why I went and borrowed the money to get a divorce and made payments on it and never got a divorce. But after I got over on in this solid foundation, there's two foundations. And Jesus said, if you will hearken to my words, then the storms of life, he said, I'll show you like this man is unto. He's like a man that built his house on a rock. When marriage is tried, when your finances is tried, when it looks like you're going to lose your house, when it looks like you're never going to have nothing, that's straight from the pits of hell. When all of that looks like that, when you take God's word and you say, God, I am who you said I am. I can be what you said I can be. I can do what you said I can do. That is you believing that God is a good God. He's a good God, Matt. Yes, he is. I wouldn't be surprised if the anointing don't show up in them nursing homes over there and they'd start living to 120 years over there. It's promised in the Bible. Now you look at them and it looks impossible. They're washed up. They're finished up. They've had their life. But if you look in the Word and you look through the eyes of God, he don't see that. I went to my heart doctor. Somebody asked me the other day, it was over at Tim's church. He come over and helped in the giveaway, I think, done some praying, didn't he? Tim Coker over there where we was at. Did he come and help y'all? Back yonder when I had open heart surgery and heart attack, y'all run the service for 2 or 3 weeks or whatever. Well, he asked me, he said, how's your ticker? And I said, I'm better right now than I've ever been. I said, I'm better than I was before I had that open heart surgery, but God. I told my heart doctor today, he come back and now Teresa's got me on these vitamin ones today and omega fish oil and she every now and then starts us eating right. Don't diet, just change your eating. Right? I made up my mind I'm not going to eat any salt. And I had some on a tomato sandwich, and that's all I've had in 2 or 3 days. But now I put a little salt in my water, a little salt in my this, and I've salted all down. I thought I can do anything I want to do, Lord. You give me that kind of willpower. It's called endurance in the Bible. And so I thought, I'm not going to eat more salt, but God, I'm just not eating none. Now, I don't love salt, but it's right next to it. I love God. I don't love nothing else. I'm talking about things, you know. But it's right next to love. Salt was. You heard me say was, didn't you? I purposely said that. That's past. Right? Now faith is. Right now. I'm living in faith now. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I went to my heart doctor, and I went down there. They didn't tell me to do blood work, but I went down there early. I got down there an hour early, and I told them, I said, we need to do some blood work. And they set me up for blood work, got the blood work done. Got in there to see him at 8:45, and sitting in there, and he said, well, he said, gonna come back 6 months, let you do, he said, blood work. I said, I did blood work. And he pulled the computer. Oh, there it is. I said, yeah, we already got it. So, man, he looked and he said, man, he scrolled down. I thought, oh, my gosh, what is he going to say here? He scrolled down. He said, oh, that number, no. He said, everything is perfect. Well, you know what? Ever since before I had open heart surgery, I was believing for long, satisfied life, right? And him showing me his salvation. And I'm 7 years after that, 6 or 7, and I ain't changed my believing one bit, but before, in the middle, after, or now. And so I told the Lord yesterday, I said, well, this is my yearly checkup, Lord, and I thank you, Father God, that I will get down there and I will have a good report, because by Jesus' stripes I was healed, and I am, and I will be. And so I go down there and I get a perfect record. Although he told me, Teresa told me, he said he's going to tell you to get rid of that twin. That's just belly. That, Richard. Get rid of that. I'm Dr. Scotty. That's what I tell my mama. And she'd say, you are not a doctor. And I said, yes, I am. I'm a doctor. I said, I got God's wisdom that he gives them doctors, and he can give it to me too. Well, the Bible says in James, don't it? Let a man ask wisdom. If you don't got wisdom about something, why don't you just ask God and believe? And don't waver. And don't be double-minded, James said. Don't change your mind. Ask him and say, I receive your wisdom in this, sir. And you say it by faith, and you expect to have wisdom. I just used it today when they weren't going to pay. I called them up, and they mailed me a check tomorrow. I didn't cuss them out. I didn't go beat them up like I told y'all about. You know, go up there, I'm going to teach them. Nope, I used God's wisdom. I used gentleness and meekness. Jesus said, learn of me. I didn't call sad and oppressed. I didn't call and all of that. And he said, well, I'll just mail you a check tomorrow. And I said, thank you, sir, thank you. No weapons formed against you. But that's up to you. That's up to me, and that's up to you. Just because God said it, everybody don't qualify. You got to believe and follow him. Listen to him. Praise him. Worship him. Keep your mind on him. I don't, even when I'm doing garage doors, my mind ain't on garage doors. I'm singing, humming to the Lord, thinking about him, thinking about his goodness. If I ain't got nothing, I'm like David when he went up, going to go up to the Goliath. And he said, man, I done killed a bear. Sucker come out there, man, to get the sheep. And I went bare hand now. Little teenager, barehanded. Under the power of God. Went out there, killed a bear. Son, I've been up there and seen some bears. I've seen them on TV. And I ain't, woo. When they stand up, they're 8, 9 foot tall. I don't know how big his was. I'm sure it wasn't a cub running them sheep down. But I heard the story, heard a guy preach that one time, might have been Shockey. I don't know. And so I begin to think now, I go back and I say, glory to God, heart attack didn't kill me. I had many of them before I went and had open heart surgery. Living by faith. My faith kept me alive, Matt. I don't doubt it one bit. That heart doctor, he told me, he said, well, I said, man, listen, I'll have my wife to drive me to Birmingham. He said, you cannot go. We got to ship you. You're in danger. I could have fell over. I'm in there because Teresa and them made me go. I'm having a heart attack on the job. And I'm thinking, give me a minute to get it together here, glory to God. No weapons formed against me. How many knows all the way to death you ought to be proclaiming God's word? There's no better way to die other than in faith. Praise God. But so I tell him, I said, well, okay, you know. And because I'm like, I'm fine, man. But he told me, he said, listen, man. He said, you fixing to meet your maker. And I started telling him, that's what I've been waiting on. Don't threaten me with death. For me to die is gain. Well, what about poor Teresa now? Poor Teresa, she's rich. She's got Jesus, right? He done made me a promise that even if I'm gone, he'll take care of her. I gave her to him. That's not just to keep my marriage. She's not going to have to live off the little bit of Social Security. I don't care if you get $2,000 a month. That's a little bit. My light bill's pretty high. And I turn them 100-watt light bulbs on too. But God, I don't set in the dark if I don't want to. If I set in it, it's because I want to. My daddy wouldn't even let us have light bulbs. We had one in the house because he couldn't see further. He couldn't see making, if a light bill went up $20, that's terrible. He'd be shocked today, $350. If he'd ever come to church here and I'd have showed him one of his light bills, $900. Good Lord. Alabama Power's ripping you off. You got to cut all them lights off. Y'all get fans. Don't put no air conditioning on in there. But I just add another unit and say, my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches. God is a good God, guys. He's got your car. You're like, I don't need one right now. No. But you start now. You start telling God now, I'm yours, Lord. And Lord, I'm not going to have to depend on my parents. Lord, you're going to load me up with your benefits. You're going to take care of me. Well, you know what I do now? God delivered me from a $130,000 doctor bill. Wiped out in about 2 minutes. 4 weeks of trying to get me in fear, Satan. And unbelief, like God wouldn't come through for me. He tried it. They denied all kinds of stuff. It tried to discourage me, and I thought, I will not quit. I used to be a quitter, and I will win if I don't quit. I used what I preach here, Monty. I ain't coming here and preach it, then go out there and suck my thumb. That's dumb. If God gives me a message in a notebook, winners don't quit and quitters don't win, well, then it's dumb to me not to listen to it. And quit right in the middle of the battle. And Teresa even got discouraged. She wasn't anointed. Everybody's not anointed for your battle, John. You hear me? Everybody's not got faith for your battle. Teresa did, that wasn't hers to deal with. So she got plumb discouraged at about two or three letters. Denied, 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 blah, blah, blah. She said, just forget them. God will take care of us. And I didn't feel it. And I just geared down and I thought, nope, bless God. Then I made up my mind. These people have let me down. All of them has let me down. I'm going to be a man and I'm going to pay my bills. I'm going to swear to my own hurt and change not. I preach it here, and I can't preach it here and go out there and be a castaway. Right? I'm either going to believe God's word or I'm not. And if I do believe God's word and I hang on and I have faith in him, Doris, he's going to come through for me. I'm confident. That word has got me confident. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. The world, the news, Facebook, and all them on Facebook, I'm not down. It's a good place. It's a good place if you're led by the Lord to put something on there. But they're not. I'm not going to draw my direction from the day for the day there. They might have got up in the flesh and just thought they wanted to put that out there for somebody. And that's not my food. My food comes from Him. Well, now when I get in a battle now, Drew, I go and I say, glory to God, He delivered me from a $130,000 bill wiped out because I was going to do the right thing. The Bible says He'll not hold back $130,000 from me if I walk upright. I'll just put it in there and make it real, right? I done went, gonna go bankrupt and all that stuff, you know, trying to figure out, Drew, how to save us. Don't ever try to save yourself. That's bad. Fast, pray, acknowledge God, seek the Lord. And if He ain't telling you in a direction, praise God, stand still and see the salvation of your God. I told somebody the other day, I said, you know what? I said, I bet you my credit score is zero because I ain't got 9 credit cards. The first credit card, your score will go up. Be led if you get a credit card. I'm talking to the church. Your life ain't really none of my business, but you can go from no credit, can't get nothing. God raise you up, give you a good name, and rack yourself up to where you can't make the payments. Your flesh, my flesh. You know how I know, Drew? Been there, done that. On my knees towards the Lord, God, forgive me, Lord, and help me, Lord. But you know what I do now? See, I probably got a zero credit score, but I owe no man nothing, so they don't count me as much. But you know what, Drew? You can come to the place you don't need the bank anymore. The blessing, Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. It don't say the bank makes you rich. I'm not against borrowing. I borrowed and I did, but I took steps because I found out that God is a good God and that God would take me from one level of faith to another level of faith, from one level of glory to another level of glory, and I believed it and I put it into action. And I do got a big credit card in my pocket, and that sucker just sits there. I probably will never use it. Won't you get rid of it? Nah, it's a reminder of the bear and the lion. You know, and I killed Goliath with it. I used it to kill it. I used it to discipline myself. I used it to discipline myself. You know, and that's one of the things that Satan wants to use on me and you is we want it now. Right. We want what we want. But we go to the Lord and we ask Him and we get before Him and we say, God, You lead us in what we want. You guide us in what we want. Because the Bible says that He gives me and you richly all things so that we can enjoy it. Hallelujah. Give me a next scripture. Beth, I don't even know what I got. For the Lord is what?
Good.
That's right. And they stopped right there. He stopped right there. He said, for the Lord is good. See, you need to leave this service tonight and you need to believe right in the middle of your stuff that comes against you from here out that God is a good God. If you don't believe that God is good and He's good to you, then you are going to surrender in most battles you get in. But if you believe that God is a good God, see, he'll tell you where you've been in your past, that you're not going to be anybody. You're not going to ever go anywhere. You're limited to this and you're limited to that. But you get in that word and you renew your mind to the word of God and you are a king and a priest unto God, and God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all, bigger than you can think or ask, but according to what you let work in you. What I'm preaching is not easy. You can get all excited about, whoo, glory to God. Then here comes James. Give me that James. Beth. There comes James. Right at her church. Right at her church. Your neighbor. I'm telling you, this world tries to make me mad all the time like it never has. These drivers. I mean, you know. And it's just, they just drive crazy. It's just their mind is in somewhere else, in another world, you know. It's in their future, but it's not God's future, you know. But you know what? It happened to me today. I'm on the interstate, and this dude just runs up in a tow truck and nearly tears up my trim that I went and got down to Birmingham. And so I just tapped my brakes, and when I did, I didn't slam on my brakes. I used to. I'd get me a Bahama trip. Like, God, you do that to me. I don't care who you are. You won't do it but one time to me. And did you hit me in the rear end? I knew the law. You hit me in the rear end, it is your fault, Monty. Used to be, and I don't know what had happened now. And so I just tout my brakes, and when I did, he comes around and pulls up beside me and just shot me off. And I mean, I'm sitting there, and my mind had been on the Lord and everything else, and I thought, but God, Lord, just forget Jesus for a minute. This dude, he's a road rage on there, and it might take a good, strong Christian to show him. But God, you know, and I thought, take them thoughts captive. I took them thoughts captive. I did. Because I felt like I wanted to do it. Because I didn't want to go to the doctor. I didn't want to go pick up that trim that they didn't have on my truck, and I'm doing the job tomorrow. Because church tonight, and I didn't want to preach. Because I'm going to be after lunch. Getting in on Wednesday. See, you think you have the only Bible. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to make church tonight. I got way more hours than you, but I fight the same battle. Right. It don't make no difference if you're tired or not. Right. As for me and my house, we go what? Serve the Lord, tired or not, raining or not, hot or not, tow trucks pulling out like that and shooting us off or not. We going to stay in a right spirit. Count it. Oh, woo. Thank you, Lord, that it was my opportunity. Count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith. Where do you get faith? The Word. Mark said it in Mark 11, 22, I believe it is. He said, have faith in God. I wouldn't have knew that had I not knew Mark 11, 22. That I can have faith in God. You need faith when you want to kill somebody. You know? But he says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let me tell you, I looked that word. I know what it is, but I want to read it to you. Let me tell you what patience is. Patience is the capacity that me and you has in us, the capacity to tolerate delay, trouble, suffering without getting upset. That's what that patience means. It means the ability has been put in me and you to stay in a right spirit and not get upset when they shoot you off on the internet. I mean the interstate. Right? Or they bash you on Facebook because you put God's scripture up there. Had this guy, he's been on me since 2007 at different times. He went from going to church and tithing to believing it's under the law. And then come hook our internet up in 2007 and tried to convince me that it's under the law. You know, and I told him, I said, I didn't know nothing about a law until you told me you're trying to take me into bondage. I started out in faith. I didn't start out knowing it's law or not. Listen, I could have cared less. I'm fixing to commit suicide. I don't know nothing about the law. All I heard about was Jesus. He wasn't under the law. Right? And I give my heart to Jesus and I read in that Bible and I wasn't thinking law and religion until I got a bunch of non-following Christians anymore to interpret God's word to me. they used to follow him, they got freedom. They got revelation. Did you just give what you want to? So I asked him, I'm making a point here. So I asked him then, I said, well, let me ask you something, brother. I didn't even want to call him brother. But I guess he's born again. I don't know. He's one. But I asked him, I said, let me ask you something. I said, are you, he was hooking our internet up. He worked for the old telco company, you know, and that's what he was doing. And so I says, are you giving more now that you're got your freedom than you was when you tithed? And he said, well, no. I said, there's your answer. You're helping God less. You're giving God less. You're less. I said, that's what I'm doing, spending money to preach this everywhere. And your tithes and your tithes and your offerings and your gifts and your labor and your connection with God helps us to do that. Helps us to reach and the food and all kinds of stuff. Hallelujah. Well, now he went from that and I made him mad. I told him back there and I said, well, I didn't ask you. I said, I didn't ask you what I preached to this church. God called me here. Right. That's what I told him. And so anyhow, he goes on and then he gets plumb away from church and now he's convinced that the earth ain't round. And he goes to Tennessee and everywhere else, you know, in trying to prove to people that the earth is not round. It's flat. And so the other day up there, I'm on South Road minding my own business and he goes by headed home and then he hit his brakes. And I thought, oh, Jesus. So he backed up, gets out and over there, did you get to look at that stuff? I said, no, not really, man. Well, I'm going to Tennessee and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, that's good. And then he goes on and then he asked me a question out of the Bible and I said, well, I'm not really sure. He said, that's what I thought. I said, you know what? I said, it don't make me no difference if the earth is flat, square, triangle. I said, I could care less about that. I said, but you know what? You better be concerned. I said, because have you heard about the Sharia law? I said, it's all over the United States right now. I said, and you either convert to that God, that dead God, or you going to get beheaded. You die. You got a mayor in New York. He's one of them. You've got them all in Congress. Now don't get scared because we serve a good delivering God. Well, you know what? He got mad. He just went like an old wet hen, mad, got in his truck, left, and I thought, whew, bring up the Lord, and that's all it takes. You bring up the Lord, and you better have your faith in Jesus. That's what I told him. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. If he goes off and he's mad right then and he lays in his bed and thinks, man, if it ever comes down to me, you know, I'd have to renounce God, renounce Jesus, would I do it? That would be worth me saying that to him. Get rooted and grounded in him. And you do it through patience. It says, let patience, the ability not to get upset at nobody. I'm working on it. I'm not there. Sometimes Teresa will tell me to do something, and I'll be like, gosh, I got enough going on. Then I'll go off. She probably never knows it. She shouldn't. Let patience have its perfect work. There's a reason right there. He says, that you may be mature, entire, wanting nothing. I'm talking about you won't lack for joy. You won't lack for faith. You won't lack for confidence in God, but you got to work out. You got to work it. I mean, you're going to have opportunities every day. You can get upset at your boss. You can get upset at your coworkers, your wife, your kids, my grandkids. They give me opportunities. I just don't take them. She told Teresa, Papa looks like Johnny. I don't think I look like you, Johnny. Do you? Man, you don't look brothers. I said, no, he's a Mexican. No, she said, no, he's Thai. Teresa said, no, he's not tied. And I'm like, well, I don't look like Johnny. Now, I got some Indian in me, but I got Jesus in me. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Go back up and give me the next Psalm scripture. Oh, taste, this is one I was talking about. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Had a guy coming here, and I thank God the way I came up. I came up, I'd take that word, and I'd listen to Christians, and I'd be like, man, they putting their opinion in there, and they're putting what they think in there and all that. And I just stopped all that in my life. I'm not going to put my thinking in there. Take God's word and see what he says. And don't interpret it. There's not many interpretations of the word of God. The Holy Spirit brings life to the word of God, period. Now he can reveal, John can be in a situation that his, and he can have the scripture, you know, Ephesians 6:10, finally my brother, and be strong in the Lord. I mean, and that just quickened to him. He's like, I don't care what I go through, but God, I'm hanging on to Jesus Christ. And then you can have somebody else take that scripture right there and be like, well, you know, you just got to believe that God can help you. There's a whole difference in John in that one. He said here, he said blessed. Somebody say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
If you're trusting in the Lord, you're already blessed. See, man, I mean, listen. Blessed is not having no bills. The blessing makes that happen sooner or later. But blessed is an empowerment on the inside of you before you see anything happen in the natural realm. That you know you're going to succeed in here, living from within, not here. My mind told me I wouldn't be married 40 years. My doctor, my heart doctor, he said, you have any chest pains or shortage of breath? And I said, no. And he said, you got any troubles? And I said, well, I'm married. And then he looked at me and he said, oh, me too. How long you been married? And I said, 40 years. I said, 41 years. I said, and I don't suspect I'm going to change it anytime soon. And he said, same woman? I said, same woman, 40 years. He just don't know how I have fought for my marriage. He just don't know how many times I have killed the flesh man for my marriage, Doris. See, love... Because I love her, I told the Lord after I got born again, I said, God, I said, I love her, I really love her, and I want her to be happy. And if she's not happy with me and she would be happy with somebody else, I would let her go and never try to do anything. I said, that's freedom. See, I got free. I was a free man then. What that choice right there in my thinking and heart done is liberated my marriage. Right? Because I let her be her and have her own life and didn't try to dictate anything in her life anymore. See, that's the way God is with us, Mac. He will ask us to do things. He will ask us to forgive, ask us to go to the nursing home, ask us to make things right. He will ask us to do it. He will not make us do it. He gives us that open door in there when we need to forgive, we forgive. I know how it is sometimes. I'm scatterbarrel right now. Some of you need this. Somebody done me wrong several times. I've been done wrong over and over and over and over and over. And when I see it coming now, I'm like, oh, well, this is just another stepping stone up higher in my character. Because I'm going to forgive before they ever do anything to me. Need to make your heart mine. Well, anyhow, I didn't want to. I went to God this time. It's about 15 years ago. I went to God, and I told God, I said, okay, God. I said, I want to be released, and I wanted, after I get done, I'm telling God this. He knows your thoughts. I knew he knew my thoughts, so I'm just going to go to him. Maybe he'll let me do it. And I was wanting free. Lord, let me go, and I'm going to whoop him. I'm going to really get him good, and then I'm going to repent, and then I'm going to come back. Whether I could have whooped him or not, I believed I could. And I heard the Lord. He said, no. I thought, man, you're not fair. How many knows he is a fair God? See your mind. See how your mind can work? This is not fair, God. This is not fair that I can't go and take vengeance. I can't go do something about them. It's not fair. But I found out that God is all-knowing. You know what he told me, Drew? Immediately after that, he said, pray for him. And I told God, I said, I'm not praying for him. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to pray for him. I'll just forget it, but I'm not going to pray for him. Every time I would go to pray, my conscience wouldn't leave me alone. The inward man. He wouldn't leave me alone. See, I wasn't free, John, because I wasn't willing to forgive. I wasn't free. Just forget it, stay away from him, and go on and serve Jesus. See, that's not going to happen. He needs that out of you, out of me, to where that can't destroy me. And so I have to go by the place where the guy works every day. Every day, Mac, I had to go by there to get to work. And the first week, I didn't pray. Second week, I go by there, and I said, okay, Lord, I surrender. I just surrender. I don't have no peace. Lord, things are not good, you know. And so it took me about 3 months, Drew, of lifting my hand out the window every day and praying. God bless them. Bless that person, God. Bless them, bless them. I didn't feel nothing for about 2 months. And then it happened. I'd heard Christians say, you know, you can forgive, but you can never forget. That's a lie. Yeah. That is a lie. That's right. Yeah. I walked it out. I walked that out. And when I walked it and it happened on the inside of me, through an act of my faith, I did it, not my feelings. Through an act of my faith and obedience to God, I did it, praise God, because God is a good God, and He forgave me while I was yet a sinner. He died for me. He forgave me. I didn't know all that, really. I mean, I did, but it's preached to you, but when reality hits you. Well, you know what, praise God? I was able to get around that person, still do today, and never have a thought of it. So you can forgive, and God will help it, wipe it away. You'll know it happened, but in here you are free. You're free. Hallelujah. Praise God. But he said, how many knows the scripture says that many are the afflictions of the righteous? He said, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. I believe that. Or I wouldn't hear him preach it to you. You're in a financial mess, God will deliver you. Just seek him. Just don't quit giving. And don't yield to your own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. But God, I mean, stand. If he ain't told you something, praise the Lord. Acknowledge the Lord in it and ask him, are there anything I need to do, God? And he says he will direct our path, praise God. So God is a good God. And I rehearse it a lot of times when things start getting a little slow in the God's door business, if I want to work, that's an if, and I most of the time do, I start saying, okay, Lord, thank you, Lord, big jobs, less work, more money, Lord, thank you, Lord, for your increase, God. If I worked for the other man, I'd take me an offering to church and to do just like I done when I worked for the other man. I took me an offering and I told God, I said, I'll never ask my boss for a raise again. I'll get one through you, Lord. And so I would never talk to my boss, praise God. I would take me an offering to church and I would say, thank you, Lord, for Proverbs 10:22. I was doing that 33 years ago. And when I quit in less than a year, I was making double what I'd ever made there. Double. $400-something a week, and I didn't have to work on Saturday anymore. And then I had a challenge of that $45 tithe. I don't have a challenge with it. I'm a tither. But God, and I mean, I don't care if it's $20 or $4,000. Boom. I'm tithing. I don't care what I want, what I think I want, what I need. I am going to honor God. Honor God, Drew. Whatever comes into your hands, you honor Him. You don't even let nobody know. The Bible says what you do in secret, He'll reward you openly. He rewards me openly of what I do secretly. But this between me and Him is what I mean. You know, you do it between you and Him. That's trusting in Him. You will experience the Lord. That old taste and see means experience and see that I am good. And you know what, praise God, there is a lack of reverence for God like I have never seen, even in some churches. I went up there, I went to a church one time and had a guy down here working. He went to a church and he was doing the media ministry up there. And he was talking about it, and I just said, well, you know, I was just talking, you know, and I said, yeah, I was kind of challenged about putting, you know, the internet here, but I know it's God. I said, because people running that ministry back there scrolling and through the internet and looking on Facebook, or not, there wasn't no Facebook then, looking on the internet when they ought to be paying attention to God. That's what I told him. He said, oh, man, I'm guilty. I've been up there and I've watched the ball games while the service is good. I mean, he couldn't help it. Confession was made into salvation. He wasn't hindering this service, none. He was hindering that one. Because when service is going in a church and everybody is acknowledging and worshiping and paying attention to God, He comes down and begins to manifest Himself. Us getting revelation from God has got a lot to do with our attention towards God. If we draw from Him, draw nigh to Him, attentive to Him. So I told him, I said, repent. See, I didn't cow back and say, well, I understand, man, you know. No, that service, I told him, I said, you're hindering that service. If you can't control yourself, put somebody up there that's got some self-control. Now, I don't know if he ever did or not. But he had it. He wanted the anointing. You want increase. God could have made him famous. God could have said, just because you're faithful back here behind the scenes, you've been faithful in the small things, I'm going to make you ruler over much. I'm going to put you where you're running a whole TV ministry, and I'm going to pay you $50,000 or $80,000 a year to sit in air conditioning and run a media ministry. That's what God can do for a person. Do that. So I want you to know tonight, you know it, the Word says it, that God is good. And you go tomorrow and the rest of the week, don't listen to people. I don't know why God ain't working for me. I don't know why. I don't know why good people die with cancer. They were good Christians. I've heard all of that. You know, and God tell me, you don't believe based on none of that. You believe based on my Word. You believe not based on the experience of another Christian. Because maybe they didn't fast, Mac. Maybe they didn't get the Word and take the Word, which is medicine, to all the... I don't know. I don't know all why people are not experiencing what they experience. But I do know that God don't lie. And I do know that the Word is sound and tried and tested and true. And I know that it is the truth, even if it's against me, Drew. I don't go against the Word. I tell God, I thank you, Lord, I'm going to line up with your Word. Your Word is what sets me free, Lord. Jesus said that we would know the truth and the truth would make us free. So go tomorrow in all your stuff and doing and acknowledge God as a good God. And I may make concrete decisions, you know, and if you're going through something, if God's ever done anything for you, go rehearse it. Yeah. Rehearse it out loud and get your mind off of your problems. Your problems can be your God. Whatever, your worship, your time, your thinking, your meditation. And that's what Satan wants you to do. But you know what? Your mind and all that, because the Lord asked me something one time. He said, how many bills in your life has worrying paid? I'd never thought about that, man. I mean, it never hit me, and I'm like, God, man, what a question. I said, well, none, Lord. He said, then why are you worrying? He said, it don't change nothing. He said, but faith in me. He said, I make all things possible because you're believing. Your confidence is in me and not in your problems. And I'm going to tell you, God will bring you to a place where you don't owe nobody nothing. I'm going to preach it. I don't care if everybody's in debt. I don't care if everybody got 8 credit cards maxed out till you can't see out of your eyeballs good. Pray God. I'm going to preach this word right here, and if you do this word, nothing is impossible. God is a big God. If he can bring me out, and I'm going to tell you, he told me, you know what he told me, Satan, Drew, and I'm going to try to close with this. He told me when I was believing to get out of debt, he's like, well, you can't borrow money no more, so that means you're just going to have what you got, and then that's it. And I could see me 35 years in one truck. He'll give you a vision. And then the Lord spoke to me, and he said, no. He said, you can have, he said, you can come out of debt. He said, and you can drive what you want. You don't have to come out of debt and have that thinking that you're never going to have anything because you can't borrow money. I can tell you right now, Richard, Satan's a liar, and I'm there. But God, I have what I want. I just don't want a lot. Right? That's a good place. He's bringing us all to the place to where he's our satisfaction, and that's what we're satisfied. Then we enjoy everything we got, even if it's a moped that don't run half the time. You got to drive 30 minutes and it dies and wait on the coil to cool off. You can still just praise the Lord sitting there waiting on the coil to cool off. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And I thank you, Father. I thank you that Your word has went into our ears and into our hearts, Lord, and it will bring a harvest. We're going to declare your goodness, Lord. You're a good God, and your mercy endures forever, Lord, and we praise you and thank you for that. You're good to us, Lord. You're a good God, Lord, and I thank you, Lord. We believe to see your goodness in the land of the living. We believe to see it like David. He said he would have fainted unless he believed to see your goodness in the land of the living. And that's us, God. We're going to see your goodness, Lord. And Lord, we will give you glory. It'll cause us to give you glory, and other people will see your goodness to your people, Lord, and they will want you, Father, because they will see that you are a good, good God. And we give you praise. You're here tonight, and you've not surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ, or you're listening by way of airways, Facebook, or however you're listening, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Tonight is your night. You can surrender to him, and he died on the cross. He was good to you while we were all yet sinners, and he loves you. And if that's you and you've never surrendered to the Lord, or maybe you're backslid on him and you forgot how good God is, or maybe you didn't stay long enough for him to show his goodness to you, then just bow your heads right where you're at. If you're in this house, just bow your head. Slip your hand up if you're lost without God and you're ready to surrender to Jesus. You're backslid on the Lord and you're wanting to make things right. Anybody, all right. Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, tonight, Lord. If there's someone out there that needs salvation, Lord, all they've got to do is call on your name. Ask the Lord to come into your heart and take your life and change you. He will. He'll do it. If you're out there and you're not surrendered to the Lord and this message has meant something to you, praise God, just bow your head, your heart to the Lord and ask him to forgive you and renew your vows to the Lord, praise God. All right, is anybody in here you need prayer before we dismiss? Anybody? All right, let's stand to our feet, give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah.